You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm not going to do the guitar on this
Let's
one.
Let's do this
not
thing.
Not going to do it.
Come on, baby. Put up with. Jeez. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed Alexander. Good morning to you all. It's a Thursday. Can't believe we're almost to the end of the week. Amazing. And you're on Wake Up Tucson 1030 The Voice. This hour brought to you by our great friends at CapcoAZ.com, Central Arizona Block. They are manufacturing brick, pavers, and block here. If you want to make your backyard, front yard, side yard, or maybe you do weird stuff with bricks and blocks inside your house, they're the guys and girls to see. Cabco AZ, three great locations to serve you. Wetmore, Valencia Road near Pima Airspace, and Sierra Vista.
Look at that.
Ed Alexander.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go jump right into it. This one, you know, sometimes we book stuff just because we're wise asses on this show, including my beautiful wife.
Well, you want to just learn something.
When she saw this interview offered for a lady who wrote a book about Welcome to Jazz.
Yeah.
It's a kid's book. And she says, totally booking this dedicated to Higgins. Because, of course, Higgins hates jazz.
You know the no
We know
joke.
Johnny Jates hates jazz, that group that had one song.
Uh-huh.
Giving me.
That's why they only had one hit. After that, hey, stop that.
Let's see. People. So it actually has, so it's called Welcome to Jazz. It has cats, jazz cats, Ed, that go through the journey of jazz, right? And then it has the, hold on, I got to get the trumpet. You press. That's the book makes the sound.
That's the book?
That's the book.
I love that.
So this is a. This is for Joe Higgins, this interview
coming
up.
I'm going to be.
Sports intern David Schweikert. We got so much stuff to cover today. A mother defends herself off of two guys at Pliskin Acres with a gun and shoots both of them dead.
Dink.
We're going to talk about that before it's all over. And Ed is going to talk about how, as the mayor, this happened in his area, whether there'll be a task force and a blue ribbon panel to make this happen. So that's something that's going to be pretty important. What else do we got? We got, oh my God, there's so much to cover today. We got to do, we'll do weekend events tomorrow. Well, maybe we'll do them today. Tomorrow is such a busy show. Tomorrow is very busy because, first of all, Food Fridays, we're doing like all Chicago in a way. Mark Van Buren was already thinking about movies that take place in, top 10 movies that take place in Chicago. So we got that. By pure coincidence, Rocco is here. Then I got McCluskey here. Ted Maxwell is going to be here, who I assume has at least visited Chicago. First hour, I have our good friends from Gospel Rescue, and coming in with them is a guy who has done a lot to support their Center for Opportunity, named Umberto Lopez. So it's a rock and a rolling show. So Ed and I in the third hour will actually preview your weekend today. That's the way it is, because tomorrow...
What?
We're previewing their weekend today because tomorrow is so busy.
Wow.
So
we're used to busy, though.
Yes.
We like busy.
Tomorrow is really busy with interviews and things like that. So,
oh, wow. Interviews and stuff?
Higgins sent me a great column. By it's called Trump's Popularity Excess. This is the best explanation. And I'll be doing a dramatic reading of that before this show is over. What else do we got today? We have the Arizona Daily Independent did a FOIA request on the schedules of the some city council folk because, of course, it's called City Council at Work or Not. So we'll they actually looked at some of their what are they doing in their work week on the taxpayer dollars?
Thank you. Good idea. Good question.
Then. Which is totally crazy. A couple of my U of A grads who don't even live here, I guess they're on the Judicial Watch email list or something like that. And this is a story about the University of Arizona. Let me just give you the headline. Public University gives Chinese Communist funding, exclusive right to intellectual concepts, trademarks, and inventions about the University of Arizona. With Chinese communists.
U of A in China. They're like this, folks. Wait till you hear this one.
So we'll run down the story for you today. At the same time, we did reach out to Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch, and they will be on the show Monday to talk about this. Is Carolyn there?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, we're huge jazz heads on this show. We have the most diverse playlist of any talk show in possibly Arizona, and my old co-host Joe hated jazz, and we're dedicating this interview to him. So when he was on vacation, even to this day, we would say, "Oh, we're having a no Joe jazz Thursday or something like that."
That's funny.
You know. So let's talk about this. Is a kid's book. To get kids into, to expose kids and educate them on the basics of jazz. Talk about your journey to get to writing this book.
You know, I'm a music educator, and it was very apparent to me that there's so many different kinds of music that kids really don't get exposed to these days, because kids and families in general listen to music that they like or that they know. I really should say that they know, because we usually gravitate to what's familiar, right? So if you're not being raised in a family that maybe hasn't been familiar with jazz or with classical music, then you may not listen to it, or you may think you don't like it, but just because you don't know it or you don't know enough about it. So I thought, you know, this would be really fun. And also, I mean, jazz is just such a great, joyful music and exuberant musical art form that I just thought it would be a natural for kids.
Well, and also between that and, of course, country music being pretty exclusively American music forms.
Exactly. I mean, jazz really is part of our American history and our American cultural heritage. And what's really kind of shocking is that myself as a musician, I've been trained as a musician since I'm a little kid, and I really never formally studied jazz until much later in my life, and I couldn't understand why it wasn't included in either in American history or in my musical history classes that I was in school. So as an educator, I kind of was like, there's a big hole here.
So Americans seem to have an adversity, not all of them, but a lot of them. Trust me, I hung out with a guy who doesn't like jazz. He'll say classic things like, you know, it doesn't really have singing, a lot of it.
Okay.
That's something I hear from folks.
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't really have words to it. And I'm like, so I guess that question is, because kids are so used to pop music, right? How does that transition happen, right? I guess the younger the better is that's why you wrote the book.
Yes. I think you have to make things known to kids early on. It's sort of like introducing vegetables to your kids, in the sense that, you know, the earlier they develop a taste for something, the better. But, you know, jazz and blues and jazz really are the roots of a lot of our popular music that we listen to today. So it's sort of kind of funny when people, you know, kind of say that, oh, it doesn't have a lot of singing. First of all, jazz is a short form, meaning that, you know, we're not sitting down listening to 15 minutes of a symphony or a half an hour of a symphony. We're listening to a tune, and, you know, maybe if it's, you know, there's a lot of improvisation that's going on, it's maybe 10 minutes, but there's a song there, there's a form, you know, it's usually verse, chorus, or it's, you know, A, B, A. It's really, it's not that complex. Once you kind of take it apart and sort of, you know, explore it with kids in a concrete way, it's really not that hard to understand. But I understand that people who haven't been exposed to it can find it kind of daunting, you know, if they're not really trained, you know, to listen to it, if they haven't really kind of explored the melodies in jazz.
We're on with Carolyn Sloan. The book is called Welcome to Jazz. It's a kid's book. And, of course, at fine booksellers.
Play the book.
Here we go. I'll do it again.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Love that book.
Talk about the form of writing the book, Carolyn. Why, you know, first of all, I'm not a big fan of cats, but I understand jazz cats sounds better than jazz dogs. So tell me about how did you write this book that you thought was, you know, the form of the book in relation to being interesting to kids?
You know, I wanted to be able to kind of entice kids to listen to great music. So I said, well, you know, where am I going to start? Because there's so much different kinds of jazz, right? There's sure. so many different kinds and styles. I said, well, let's start at the beginning because, of course, you know, that's, you know, New Orleans is the birthplace of jazz. So, and then because of the geographic location sort of dictated what kind of jazz I was going to start with, which is what we call early jazz or traditional jazz, right? And Louis Armstrong. And Louis Armstrong sort of being like the granddaddy of jazz itself is really an important figure to introduce kids to. So in terms of making it kind of kid friendly, the sound panel was really imperative because you have to make things concrete for kids and they just love to push the buttons. The interaction is really everything. And also Jessica did some amazing illustrations for the book and they're really engaging and colorful. And it kind of takes kids through what it would be to go to a jazz concert, especially down in New Orleans. And I thought that was really important because, you know, it makes it feel like you're at a concert because you get to hear the music. And a lot of kids don't get to hear live music.
So for you, if I was gonna name the top three Carolyn Sloan jazz artists, who are they right now? What are you listening to?
Okay. Well, I'm a big fan of like the classics. So I mean, I really like
I am too.
Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Benny Goodman. I love Miles Davis, Monk. When we're talking about more modern guys, I think. That's a good list. If you start with Louis, I grew up listening to Billie Holiday too. So if you talk about like songs, that you know, Billie Holiday is just like the premier jazz singer for me.
I love Billie, but I always lean on my Ella Fitzgerald. She's my girl. That's it.
I love Ella too. Yeah.
What's for you? What would be one or two? If someone is, we have adults listening to this show, and of course we'd like them to get this book for their kids and grandkids. But if you were going to start an adult off on one or two jazz albums, who they're kind of buying into this crap we're talking about, Carolyn, and they say, hey, maybe I should get in the jazz. Where would you point them to?
I think that Louis Armstrong is a great place to start. I mean, his any of those songs on you know, Louis Armstrong and the Hot Five are a great place, or Duke Ellington big band with, you know, the A-Train, or Glenn Miller in the Mood, or I mean, I don't know how you cannot like those songs, and I don't know how anyone could not really would kind of want to get up and move to that music because it's pretty infectious.
Well, the book is called Welcome to Jazz. It's got the little interactive sound panel on the right of the whole thing. So you're
does it have a lot of pictures?
Oh, it's got great pictures.
Okay, good.
It's got a picture of a cat with sunglasses on, which reminds me of
it.
You. Ed.
Thank
I don't
you
know
very
why.
Much.
I don't know why. So, cool. Carolyn, thanks for writing the book. Like I said, for me and Ed, this is a book that we would love to get for the young kids in our lives. So good job.
Oh, thanks very much, and thanks for having me.
Have a great day. That's Carolyn Sloan. The book is called Welcome to Jazz. So Ed Alexander is going to spin us away. Remember, we're the only radio show that knows today is Barney Kessel's birthday. That's another thing we'll play later today. So Ed Alexander, uh-oh. She said Benny Goodman.
I know she did. It's on her, isn't it in her book? I think it is.
I don't know. This book is going right to Joe. This is Joe Higgins' Christmas present. He doesn't know it. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. I thought about doing my Louis impression, but then I figured I'd get busted for some sort of racist cultural appropriation.
Can't even open your mouth anymore. Hey, Big Boy is coming. I'm so excited.
Big Boy.
Big Boy. That's the big old Union Pacific train, the big old engine, big old steel engine of number 4014 is coming into Tucson today, excuse me, to commemorate Union Pacific's 150th anniversary. And it's going to be at the historic train depot on Toole today from 10 to 10:40. And then it moves over to Silver Lake. And then Saturday it's in Benson and Wilcox. It's just making, making the old Big Boy tour.
If you're downtown today and you see all this steam, it's not from a vaping convention.
Could be, but
it's not the vaping going on at the Ronstadt Center.
It's Rialto. Okay.
What's that thing we learned about at bowling again? Oh, cloud chasing. Remember, you increase the percentage of glycerol in your vape so it has a more sustained cloud.
Yeah. There you go. So you look cool longer, I guess. I don't know.
Pliskin Acres.
My kind of town.
It's my kind of town. So Pliskin Acres has really taken off on its own. It's got a life of its own now.
It's the new destination, the new Southwest destination.
So Grant and Swan, this is right there. This is,
yep.
We call it the eastern. See, Tia Gloria's in Jefferson Park, so that means she's holding down the southern edge of Pliskin Acres. This is the eastern edge of Southern Acres. That's Southern Acres. Pliskin Acres. So what do we got today? Let's go to the, and this even made the Arizona Republic on a story written by an actual Republic reporter, not one of the folks down here.
Okay.
The police investigated a homicide Wednesday, 3:45 in the morning. A woman called 911 and said she heard noises coming from her backyard. This is from Phil Villarreal over at KGUN9. On your side. This is on the 4700 block of East Duncan near Grant and Swan. This is 3:45 in the morning. Two men trying to break in and break into her house. This lady, she confronted them. She shot both of them. Police say that 18-year-old Corey Texera died at the scene, and 18-year-old Ali Mohammed died later in the hospital. Tucson police also say they've conducted a search warrant from their findings so far. They say the two suspects appeared to be targeting the woman's house specifically for narcotic-related reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Police tell 9 on your side they don't determine if it was self-defense. That's up to the Pima County Attorney's Office. Arizona is one of the 20 states with the Stand Your Ground law. They found Louis Fidel, a criminal defense attorney. If you're in your house and someone's breaking into your house and has already entered your house unlawfully, then you are authorized to use deadly physical force.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona has three statutes: defense of residential structure, the Castle Doctrine, which expands the rule to include your car, and pure self-defense, using deadly force in any place you have a right to be in as long as it's legally permitted.
I was going to pull up the 13 story on that because Bud was out in front of the house yesterday.
Bud Foster was?
Yeah.
And that's so unlike Bud. Usually he's covering that Chuck Huckleberry healed sick children on the Huckleberry Loop or something like that.
In front of a crime scene this time.
Oh, and look at the big boy pants on Bud.
And they showed them bringing the big old gun safe out of the house and stuff like that, that this lady or whoever she was with. And I think there's going to be a lot more to this story than just two guys tried to get in and she shot them. But it might take a while for them to release all the information as they find it. So a little more fun. And
let's see. Let's go to some of the comments when I put this up on my Facebook page. Listener Fran, wait till Stevie K and Queen Romero take away the guns of law-abiding citizens. Then it'll be easier for this nice young man to take what they want to better their lives.
Thank you very much.
Let's see. What was the other one I had here? This is from listener Lynn. Read this in the Tucson Police Scanner group that posted this morning. Came over the scanner. East Duncan shots. Fired two victims. One shot in the chest. The other in the head. Suspects still on site. Others on site with weapons. Victim shot in head. Not responding. Requesting all units.
That's just how it was breaking.
Yep.
In the day, but
yep. This is what we're giving you.
If you tweet, you can find that.
What else do we got here? So we'll see how this all plays out.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be a drug related and something else, folks. So I don't think they were just going into.
Listen to Lori.
Take this lady's purse.
Two 18-year-olds break at your house at 3:45 in the morning. No good.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting part will be how fast did the cops get there?
Probably pretty fast if there was shooting and stuff.
Again, if it's called in, yeah. So I guess it was. But anyway, so this is, if you want a Pliskin Acres special.
Yippers.
This is it. We don't know what the full details are, but when you have two 18-year-olds trying to break into the house at 3:45 in the morning and mama's got her guns. So you know, we'll talk about it, you know, Pliskin Acres. We're going to do probably a task force and a blue ribbon panel is what I'm thinking.
We'll have coffee and figure this out.
All right. 6:29 in the morning. Our good friends from Bloomberg and CBS News coming up next. Before this is our over U of A and Chinese communists. I can't believe I just said that. And a Democrat mayor in California writes why Trump people are supporting Trump despite his lack of decorum. It's a pretty good, interesting take. 10:30 The Voice. You're on Ed Alexander's Pliskin Acres channel. Wake up. Don't get me started with this one. Remember when I asked Carolyn from the Jazz Book about, you know, you're not into jazz or you want to get in the jazz and where you start? This has got to be one of the top five you start with. Kind of Blue. Miles Davis. As I said a zillion times on the show, it's the perfect amount of notes. Not too many. Not too little. I'm telling you, man. This is the one. When you got a rough night, sit in the backyard with a glass of tequila or vino, just listen to this. You'll be just fine. Let's go to a guy who would sit with Beck, listen to little Miles, drinking his Dr. Pepper with me. Ryan Larson,
Mountain
the sports intern.
Yeah.
No, Mountain Dew.
Sorry.
Dr. Pepper. Him and his mother have a Dr. Pepper problem. I know how this works.
Chris, you know me so well.
Ryan Larson.
Pepper pros.
The old sports intern calling in from the land of the Utes. First question we have for you, how's your grades doing? This is what we need to know. You tell your mom and dad whatever. This is just us on the air. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I have all A's right now. It's pretty fun because I'm taking some mid-level economics classes, and I haven't taken economics since my senior year of high school, which was about 5 years ago.
And that was at Ironwood Ridge, and that's not too hard.
Yeah, it was a lot easier back then.
Sorry, Nighthawks.
I'm making it through so far. Go Nighthawks.
Where should we start? Let's start with baseball. Let's talk about the Washington Nationals. Here's a team that I guess in May they looked like they were going to try to, you know, the manager was heading to not coming back.
Right. They're going to sell the franchise maybe. Or something.
Let's talk about the journey of the Nats from making the wild card to where they're at now.
Yeah, the Nationals' road to the World Series has been very interesting. During the offseason this year, they lost Bryce Harper to an interdivision rival, the Philadelphia Phillies. And so the Nationals, a lot of people thought they were going to take a step back, and to an extent they did. They struggled for a large portion of the season. They were hovering around 500 most of the year. And then they got really hot in the last 2 months of the season, made the wild card, and then they just did two really remarkable things. Well, really three, because they won the wild card game, which is just really just a crapshoot anyway to begin with, just a coin flip to see who's going to win that. And then they have to face the Dodgers, the best team in the National League, and they win that in five games, take game five in Los Angeles against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. And then they play the Cardinals in the NLCS, and they just destroyed them. It was not even close. In game four, when they swept them, the Nationals scored seven runs in the first inning to put the series away. And now the Nationals are carrying on to the World Series. It's their first World Series since back when they were the Senators, like in the early 1900s, because they didn't make it when they were in Montreal. And now they're finally in the World Series as the Nationals. And they're really riding their pitching staff to an extent, because the Nationals, for as good as some of the other pitching staffs have been, such as the Astros and the Dodgers, the Nationals still have guys like Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Anibal Sanchez, all guys who have been considered aces in their own right. And they demolished the Cardinals. The offense has really been clicking with guys like Juan Soto. And they've gone from just barely making the wild card to being in the World Series pretty easily. It's been pretty incredible to watch.
And then we have the battle between the Yankees and the Astros on who's going to be in the other spot on the World Series. Give us an update on what's going on there.
So it looks like the Astros are going to take this one. The Yankees pulled out a shocker in Game 1. Masahiro Tanaka pitched really well in Game 1. The Yankees won that easily 7-0 in Houston. And then after that, the Astros have just been dominating with their pitching staff. In Game 2, Justin Verlander goes out, only gives up two runs on an Aaron Judge home run. And then in game three, Garrett Cole, who has been dominant in the postseason, kept that going and just completely shut the Yankees down. The Astros won that one 4-1. We were supposed to have a game yesterday, but that got rained out. So now game four is tonight, Yankees-Astros in New York. And it's going to be Tanaka again for the Yankees on the mound. And then the Astros are going to be throwing Greinke again. Greinke, as we remember, used to be on the Diamondbacks to start the season, now on the Astros. And so the Astros pitching staff has really been carrying them lately because the Yankees, for as good as their offense has been, have really struggled against Verlander and Cole the entire season. And the Yankees pitching staff is just not to the level that the Astros is. The Yankees, their 2 and 3 starters, James Paxton, Luis Severino, neither one of them were very good in the games that they started. And it's really just been Tanaka who's been good for the Yankees, and Aaron Boone has been riding the bullpen. And because the Yankees are so deep in their bullpen, Aaron Boone has been riding that, but because of the inability of the offense to score more than 2 runs a game, they've been struggling to keep them close.
Joe Maddon was fired by the Cubs, gets rehired by the Anaheim Angels yesterday. Tell me about is Joe Girardi going to be the next Cubs manager?
There's a real chance Girardi will be the next Cubs manager. He's also interviewing for the Mets position. That was another one that he was interested in, but it looks like, based on the interest surrounding him, that he is going to be managing somewhere this year. He's been in TV since he got fired from the Yankees, but there's a good chance he goes to the Cubs. The Mets is another big option, but Carlos Beltran is going hard for the Mets managerial position. So that remains to be seen, but the Joe Maddon pickup is big for the Angels. He has had a track record of turning teams around, the Rays, the Cubs. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do with Mike Trout, who it's really sad that Mike Trout has not had a lot of success in his career in terms of winning games for as good as he's been. So hopefully Maddon can do something there to help Mike Trout get some postseason games under his belt.
I think Joe Girardi would be, if he had a choice, right, between the Mets and the Cubs, he'd be an absolute fool to take the Mets. The Cubs is where you want to be, man. You have the best, you have some of the best fans ever. You know, you get to coach in Wrigley 82 games, 81 games, right? Why mess with Shea Stadium? I'm a former Met fan. We're the worst fans in the world. Stay away from those people.
Yeah, it's just he has experience in New York already from his time with the Yankees. He knows the city. And if you look at the Cubs and the players that they have, they're really on the downswing of their dynasty. A lot of their players are getting older, or they're going to be signing elsewhere in free agency. While the Mets, you could argue they have more upside in terms of talent level on their team. Granted, the dysfunction within the front office, some of the lack of patience with the fan base, but I think that's similar to Chicago as well. The Mets might have more talent that Girardi can work with if that's what he wants, but it seems like the Cubs, he would have a better chance of getting that job right now based on what reports are coming in.
The other thing that made me feel old rolling through sports headlines today is the World Series between the A's and the Giants with the earthquake was 30 years ago.
I remember that.
I know you do.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
That feels like to me like about 12 years ago, not 30 years ago. It's just amazing how time flies, as they say.
Yeah, it's crazy. That was one of the – I've watched a couple of documentaries or videos on that, and just one of the most incredible moments. I don't know if incredible is the right word, but fascinating moments in sports history, just watching this earthquake roll through in the middle of one of the biggest games in sports and just how everyone handled that. It's fascinating how that all went down. So
is there let's switch to NFL. I don't want to run out of time with you. Trade deadline coming up in the NFL?
Trade deadline is coming up. We have a couple more weeks of that. The NFL trade deadline is a lot quieter than baseball or the NBA generally is, just because you're not as likely to trade your stars. But there is one major trade that went down this last just 2 days ago. Jalen Ramsey, the Jaguars cornerback, who is one of the best cornerbacks in the entire NFL, just got traded to the Rams. And the Rams are going all in right now with that trade for Ramsey. They traded away Marcus Peters, who is another Pro Bowl cornerback, so that they had room to bring in Ramsey. Rams gave up 2 first-round picks to the Jags for that. And so the Rams have pushed the chips to the center of the table. They're going all in, and they have to, because they're in the same division as the 49ers and the Seahawks, who are both really good. And the Cardinals are not really good, but they're improving. So the Rams are making a big move, train for an all-pro cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. That was the big player that we were waiting to see get traded as of right now.
So right now in the NFL, it's kind of, I mean, other than, you know, the Patriots are the Patriots, right? But
right.
It's kind of wide open this year, right? Is this one of the more wide open NFL seasons we've seen?
Yeah, it's pretty wide open. Like, as long as you're okay with the Patriots still winning the Super Bowl, it's still pretty wide open. And because the Patriots are dominating everybody, their point differential so far is 142, which means they've outscored their opponents by 142 points. The next closest team is the 49ers, who have outscored their opponents by 83 points. So the Patriots have an unprecedented level of dominance. But for the rest of the league, the NFC specifically is wide open. The NFC East, the Cowboys and Eagles are tied at the top. The NFC North, every single team has a winning record right now. And then in the NFC South, like, you still have the Saints and the Panthers, who are one game apart. And then in the West, there's the Niners, the Hawks, and the Rams, and the Rams are all over 500. So there is so much parity in the NFC, at least, and there's a lot of really good teams that it's hard to pick which one is the best right now. You could argue the Niners are the best because they're undefeated, but I would lean more towards the Packers, or the Saints are getting Drew Brees back, so they're going to be really good. But in the AFC, it looked like the Chiefs were going to be the ones to challenge the Patriots, but they've been exposed a lot, especially on the defensive side of the ball still, which we knew was going to be an issue coming into the season. And so it really feels like the Patriots should continue to roll there, because their defense, for as good as Tom Brady is, the Patriots' defense is the best in football right now, which is just unfair when you have the best defense in football and Tom Brady on your team.
Well, and there's so many teams that are surprisingly crappy, right? Which is, you know, the Rams.
The Rams are pretty bad. The Browns, real bad right now.
Now look at the Cowboys. Look at the Cowboys, right? I mean, they got rolled by the Jets, for goodness sake.
Ah! The Cowboys have gotten real lucky with the teams they played early in the season. They got early games against the Giants and the Dolphins. And now that they've played some really good teams, and then the Jets, they have been exposed. But luckily, the rest of the division is also struggling. The Giants and the Redskins are really bad, and the Eagles have just, they've been really up and down this season. So the Cowboys are still tied to the division lead. They're not out of it by any means. But the Eagles and Cowboys play each other this Sunday night, and that is going to be really the tone setter for the division to establish who's really the front runner going forward.
And then, Ed, you got a listener a little called up. And
yeah, John said, well, the Patriots didn't play anybody in particular yet, kind of crappy teams so far this year, that he beat them by 149 points or something like that.
That's true. The best team they've played was probably the Steelers at the beginning of the season when Ben Roethlisberger was still healthy. Or the Bills. The Bills have one of the best defenses in football. But if you want the Patriots to play somebody, you're probably going to be waiting another month, because their next game is at the Jets, and then they play at home versus the Browns. And then they'll have some tests when they play at the Ravens and at the Eagles. But in the NFL, it's kind of a cliche, but it is hard to win games. So just watching the Patriots dominate the way they have has been very impressive. But you can make a real argument that the best team that they played is the Steelers.
The Steelers early.
Either which is very impressive. It's still early. But the Patriots just have not shown any holes yet.
So. Yeah, Ryan's right. November is when it gets a little heated up. They'll have a little competition at the Ravens, at the Eagles. They host the Cowboys. That's a Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
At the Texans. And then December 8th, they host the Chiefs. That's the game.
Chiefs and Broncos tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Chiefs and Broncos. That's going to be an interesting game, because the Broncos have a pretty good defense and the Chiefs have a really good offense, but neither team is well equipped to take advantage of the other team's weaknesses, because Denver's offense is atrocious. They played the Titans last week and won 16-0, and it was very boring and there was not a lot of offense. And then the Chiefs, for as good as Patrick Mahomes has been, he's dealing with some injuries.
That guy's, those guys' ankles look like mummies, the way they've been wrapped up, his ankles.
Yeah, he's been really hobbled, and the offense has struggled because of it. And so there's this theory that's been thrown around that I'm kind of interested in, that the Chiefs should just sit Patrick Mahomes this week and let him get really healthy and then have him ready to go again for the rest of the season, give him a week to recover.
Absolutely.
There's no way the Chiefs will ever actually do that, but I think that's an interesting idea that teams might consider more in the future. But for now, it looks like he's going to play, and I would expect the Chiefs to win that game because they're just so far ahead of the Broncos in terms of offensive talent, and there's no way that the Broncos offense is going to be equipped to take advantage of the weakness on the Chiefs defense.
All right, let me one last question.
You're so good, Ryan.
Yeah, I just
throw something out and you're like,
last question, then we got to go. Especially talking about the Broncos, are the Denver Broncos fans finally done with the John Elway experiment now?
Yes.
Okay.
They are. So Elway has just made too many mistakes in drafting quarterbacks.
How many years has he been screwing up that team now?
10?
Yeah.
He's been there since Tebow was drafted, so that was 10 years ago now, which makes me feel old. So it's been 10 years of Elway. He won the Super Bowl, but he won it because he signed Peyton Manning, not because he drafted anyone who was actually all that good. And so
got a hell of a defense, though.
Yeah, he's made a really good defense. That was in large part by free agency signings as well, other than drafting Von Miller.
That's okay.
And so he's the face of the franchise in terms of the quarterback position, but it's time for a change in leadership in the front office.
Yeah, all my Bronco nuts are starting to not like watching games on Sundays anymore.
It's hard to watch, I'm not going to lie.
Ed, let me ask Ed. I'm going to ask Ed this question, and then we got to go. Ed, who's the Broncos quarterback?
Right. I don't know anybody in the NFL that's quarterbacks anymore.
Who's the Eagles? Who's the Eagles quarterback?
I remember Wentz.
Thank you.
Name?
See, that's good. That's good. Ryan, who is
Ryan? When are you gonna? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Who's the Bronco quarterback? I don't even know.
Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco.
Oh,
all right.
He's terrible.
Ryan, when what? Can't you just like get a job and do this school thing on the side and get your degree? Because you're wasting a lot of time here, man. You're really good. We can get you on the radio or TV or something.
Someone offers me enough money to do that, I would.
And you can still do your studies and get your degree.
He just got a threatening text from his mother.
All
right, Ryan, great work today as always, sir. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. Good to talk to you again.
You too, sir. Ryan Larson, the best damn sports intern in America.
Hell yeah.
I'll take my sports intern against your sports intern. Actually, I'll take my sports intern against 90% of the people working at ESPN and Fox Sports right now.
Thank you very much.
10:30 The Voice.
Seth wanted to hear a little Rhapsody, so we can
nothing wrong with that,
right?
Nothing
hey,
wrong with that.
Speaking of sports,
yeah,
I want to give a shout out to U of A Wildcat Hockey. They start their home season, yay, tonight at the TCC, 7:30 against Colorado. They're already like 4-0 or 4-0-1 or something like that. So let's go, let's play hockey. That's what
nothing
I'm saying.
Wrong with that,
yeah.
And the Roadrunners are Friday?
They start Friday, so they're sharing the ice. So then the Ice Cats have to play, not the Ice Cats, but the Wildcats have to play during the day, Friday and Saturday, and the Roadrunners play Friday and Saturday nights.
Gotcha.
That's all
I think
happening.
Billy Shaw, who will be here later, is singing at the Roadrunners opener, I believe. So
cool.
We'll find out more in the third hour from Billy and Jess when they get here. So before we get to music birthdays and stuff, there's one thing I do want to get to. It's one of those good stories I like. It's a lady down in Amato. She has a hair salon place, and she is doing a good work. Here she is. She
with coats, jackets.
Yeah. I like this story. Okay. She's down in Amato, which of course is just between Green Valley and Nogales down there. It's where they had that flooding of that building down there. And basically, this is a Kevin Adger story from KOLD. I like Kevin a lot. And Gail Kramer owns Salon at the Ranch in Amato. 3 years ago, she wanted to do something to help the community. Rather than doing a food drive, she thought of helping kids and stay warm in the winter. First year, she got 200 jackets donated. This year, she had 1,400. And donated.
Great.
So she's going to give out almost somewhere between 1,400 and 1,500 jackets in the next couple of weeks here to people in the local Southern Arizona area. So kudos to Gail Kramer. The place is called Salon at the Ranch. So kudos to you. Thank you very much. Birthdays today musically. Barney Kessel is one that we were talking about earlier. Of course, Barney.
His birthday today?
Yeah, uber jazz guy and also a member of the Wrecking Crew.
We'll have to play some of him coming.
So played, of course, with Oscar Peterson, Billie Holiday, Sam Cooke, and many others. He also appears on a little album called Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
Beach Boys.
Well, by Brian Wilson.
No.
And the Wrecking Crew. your boy, Alan Jackson, who doesn't do much for me, but it's his birthday.
I like
too.
Alan Jackson. He's one of the new wave, old new wave guys. That was good.
And then Ziggy Marley?
Yeah.
His birthday today, of course, Bob's kid. Don't really care about Eminem's birthday. Sorry, buddy.
But it's his birthday. And Marshall then, Bruce Mathers III. I didn't realize that was Eminem.
This is an interesting one. Fran Cosmo's birthday today. He was the former lead singer of a band called Orion the Hunter and then the band Boston. It's interesting. Mm. I don't know if he filled in for Delp or something like that. So, and then let's get to holidays today because there's
Jim Seals, Seals and Crofts.
Oh, that's true.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
Conflict Resolution Day. That's nice. It's Get to Know Your Customers Day.
There you go.
So I had a meeting at the Starbucks. I had a meeting at the Starbucks in Swan and Grant yesterday, and the guy
and Plisken. Thank you for
Plisken. Thank you
going local in Plisken,
right near the shooting. And yes. You could just tell this guy. He looked like he was strapped to an oar and Ben Hur. What can we get for you? That was a look who good for you. He doesn't want to know any of his customers. And then we have National Pasta Day.
Pasta Day.
National Pasta Day. So pretty big day.
Yeah.
I'll put up my recipe for fettuccine Alfredo later today. So make your lives better. Schweikert's coming up. Arizona Originals with Jess and Billy. Chinese communists at the U of A? Question mark. And then why people... like Donald Trump. It's from a Democrat mayor. Wake up.
If you miss anything, check out the podcast, KVOI.